All right, so today we are going to really like dive deep, into this whole idea of project focus, like how to actually like achieve those goals that you have, but step by step.
Absolutely.
And we are going to be using this blog post called Project Focus: How Tackling Goals Step by Step Leads to Victory.
I like it.
And sometimes those like big, huge goals feel impossible. Like, how do you even start? So that's what we're going to break down today.
I love it.
And did you know that like multitasking
Oh, yeah.
could actually be making you less productive?
It's true.
So we're going to unpack all that too.
Yeah, it's funny because we're always told to do more,
Right.
like be more, do more, juggle more,
Yeah.
but the science of our brains tells a
Yeah.
different story.
Interesting. So I know I've definitely fallen into that trap before, like trying to answer emails, write a proposal, and remember to pick up the dry cleaning all at the same time.
I've been there.
It just never ends well.
It does not.
So, like, what's the actual cost of all this task switching?
Well, research from the American Psychological Association
Okay.
actually found that multitasking can reduce productivity by up to 40%.
What, 40%?
40%.
Wow.
It's a lot.
That's huge.
It is. And it's all because of this thing called task switching cost.
Okay.
So every time you jump between those tasks, your brain has to like reorient itself, figure out where it left off,
Yeah.
and reload that mental program for the new task.
So it's like constantly stopping and starting.
Yes,
Okay.
exactly.
Okay.
And all that switching takes time and mental energy,
Yeah.
which leaves you feeling drained and less effective.
That makes sense. It's like trying to run a marathon in flip-flops.
Yes, that's a great analogy.
You'll get there
You'll
eventually,
get there.
but it's going to be a lot slower and a lot more painful.
Right.
Okay, so I'm sold on the power of focus, but how do we actually make it happen? I
Right.
mean, we all have those big goals, but sometimes they just feel so
We
overwhelming.
do. That's where this idea of breaking down goals comes in.
Okay.
The blog post uses the example of launching a new product,
Okay.
which can feel pretty massive, right?
Yeah.
But what if you chunked it into smaller sub-projects?
Like market research, prototyping, testing, then you do the whole marketing thing before you launch. I guess each of those become their own mini
I
projects,
do.
which feel a lot easier to manage.
Exactly. It's like creating a roadmap with clear milestones along the way.
Yeah.
Suddenly, that mountain of a goal doesn't seem so insurmountable.
Right.
You have a plan, you have a path.
You can actually see it.
Yes. And you can tackle each stage with focused intensity.
So instead of this like vague idea of I need to launch a product, you're like, okay, step one is market research.
Just
Step
about it.
two is this. And you just go down the list.
That's it, and you know what it's like. It's like building a skyscraper.
Oh, okay.
Like the Burj Khalifa, you don't just throw all the steel and glass up in the air and hope it
No.
lands in the right shape.
Yeah.
It's a carefully planned process, layer by layer.
Just you build one floor at a time, basically.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's say one of my goals is to finally write that book.
Okay,
That's been swirling around in my head forever. I know I need to do the research, create an outline, write the actual book, then edit it, but like, where do I even start?
That's where prioritization comes in.
Okay.
And hey, remember the Eisenhower matrix we talked about before?
Vaguely.
Okay, well, it's a great tool for sorting tasks by urgency and importance.
Oh, right. The one with the quadrants, urgent and important. Important but not urgent.
That's fair.
I kind of remember it. So how would I actually use that for my book project?
Well, let's think about it.
Okay.
If you're serious about this book, would you say that outlining is pretty important?
Oh, absolutely. I can't write the book without an outline. So that's definitely important.
Okay, and would you say that it's urgent? Like it needs to happen right now?
Not this very second, but I definitely need to get it done before I can start writing.
Oh, it sounds like it's.
It's important, but not urgent.
Bingo,
Yeah.
you got it.
All right.
And that quadrant is all about scheduling and strategic planning.
Okay.
So you might block off a few focus work sessions in your calendar
Okay.
dedicated to just outlining.
So I'm making that commitment and I can see it visually. Okay.
But what about those urgent and important tasks?
Oh, right. Those are the ones you have to do right away.
Yes, no excuses.
Like putting out fires or meeting deadlines that are coming up. For the book, that would probably be like finding a literary agent or finalizing that book proposal if I have a deadline for that.
So it's knowing which tasks need your immediate attention
Right.
and which ones can be strategically planned for later.
So it's like short term versus long term.
There you go.
Okay. And speaking of planning,
yes,
the blog post really emphasizes setting deadlines.
It does. It does.
Which I know I need because I am a master procrastinator.
Okay.
Unless I have a deadline, I don't do anything.
Right. Because deadlines, it's like they're those little sparks
okay.
that ignite action.
I like
that. They create a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
And they keep you accountable.
Okay.
The key is to set realistic deadlines.
Right.
Ones that challenge you.
Yeah.
But don't overwhelm you.
Right. So instead of just saying, I'm going to finish this book by the end of the year.
Right.
I would break it down into like,
yeah,
finish the outline by next month.
Right.
Draft the first three chapters by the month after that.
Exactly.
So it's a series of smaller deadlines.
Yes. Mini finish lines,
yes,
that you can sprint towards.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
And it makes the whole process feel more manageable.
Right.
You're not staring down this massive goal. You're focusing on conquering each step in a timely fashion.
This is really starting to click.
Yeah.
By breaking down the goal.
Yes.
Prioritizing the tasks.
Uh-huh.
Setting realistic deadlines.
That's it.
I'm actually starting to think that I can write this book.
I think you can too.
It doesn't feel like this big, scary thing anymore.
That's the power of a structured approach.
Yeah. It feels much more real.
It does.
And much more approachable.
Yes. And you know what else helps keep that motivation going?
What's that?
Celebrating the wins along the way.
Oh, yeah. I do like a good celebration.
Who doesn't, right?
Mm-mm. But are we talking like champagne and confetti for every chapter I finish?
Uh-huh. It doesn't have to be a fiesta.
Okay.
Even small acknowledgments of your progress can go a long way.
Okay.
Maybe it's treating yourself to a fancy coffee,
mm-hmm,
after a really productive writing session.
Yeah.
Or taking a break to do something that you really enjoy.
So it's about recognizing those milestones.
Yes.
And giving myself permission to feel good about it.
Exactly.
Okay, I can get behind that.
Yeah.
But sometimes those big goals can still feel daunting.
I hear you.
Even with the best planning and the best deadlines.
Right.
I think we all need a little inspiration.
I agree. That's why I think it's helpful to look at some real-world examples.
Okay.
Of how focus has led to incredible achievements.
All right.
And the blog post highlights a really fascinating one.
Oh.
Apple, under the leadership of Steve Jobs.
Oh, okay. Apple,
yeah,
they're a pretty big deal.
They are.
What does their story have to do with focus, though?
Well, a lot, actually.
Okay.
Because, you know, a lot of people just think it was all about genius and innovation.
Yeah.
But that genius and innovation,
yeah,
were fueled by a laser-sharp focus.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Because when Steve Jobs returned to Apple in 1997,
okay,
the company was actually struggling.
Really?
Yeah, they had this huge, sprawling product line.
Oh, wow.
Like, their brand identity was diluted.
Okay.
And they had a real lack of clear direction.
Well, what did he do?
Well, he did something very strategic.
Okay.
And honestly, pretty courageous.
Okay.
He made the very bold decision, mm-hmm, to dramatically simplify Apple's product line.
Wow. So he's like, we need to cut things.
Yes. He knew they couldn't be everything to everyone.
Right.
So he chose to focus on a select few products.
Okay.
That represented the core of what Apple was.
I think I remember reading about this.
Okay.
Didn't he reduce their entire product line to just four products?
He did.
Wow.
Just four. The iMac, the iBook.
Okay.
The Power Macintosh and the PowerBook. That was a radical move.
Yeah, especially back then.
Especially back then, when other tech companies were trying to expand and diversify.
Right, like more is better.
Exactly.
So it must have been a really tough decision.
It was.
Like cutting out entire product lines,
yeah,
laying off employees,
yeah,
saying no to things that might have been lucrative.
Right, but Jobs understood,
yeah,
that focus wasn't just about saying yes to the right things.
Yeah. It was about saying no to the wrong things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even if those things seemed promising at the time.
So he was willing to sacrifice short-term gains,
yes,
for long-term vision.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that laser focus on a smaller, more curated product line,
yeah,
allowed Apple to put all its energy and resources,
mm-hmm,
into making those few products absolutely exceptional.
And I guess it worked.
It did.
Like the iMac was a huge hit.
Yes.
The iPod changed how we listen to music.
Completely revolutionized it.
And the iPhone, I mean, come on.
I know.
That changed the world.
It did. And it all stemmed from that decision,
wow,
to narrow their focus,
yeah,
and pour their energy into just a few key priorities.
So it's a pretty powerful lesson it is, for all of us.
Yes, whether you're running a company,
yeah,
pursuing a personal passion,
right,
or even just trying to get through your daily to-do list.
It's not just about having good ideas.
Right.
It's about picking the right ones.
Yes.
And giving them your full attention.
Exactly.
I,
and on the flip side,
yeah,
a lack of focus can lead to missed opportunities.
Okay.
Stagnation, even failure.
It's a little scary.
It is. And the blog post has a really good example of that.
Oh, yeah.
The downfall of Nokia.
Wait, Nokia?
Yeah.
Like the indestructible phones.
Yes.
What happened to them?
I know, right? They were the kings of the mobile phone world.
Yeah.
But when the smartphone revolution happened,
yeah,
Nokia stumbled. They were so slow to adapt.
So they got comfortable at the top.
In a way, yeah.
And didn't see the change coming.
Yeah, they underestimated the power of touchscreens and smartphones.
Wow.
And they thought they could keep making those traditional models, but the market shifted.
Yeah.
And they got left behind.
It's like what got you here won't get you there.
Exactly. They succeeded because they were the best at what they did.
Right.
But they failed because they didn't recognize when the rules of the game had changed.
That's a good point.
And the blog post points out that a big part of Nokia's downfall was this lack of internal focus.
Oh, so it was deeper than just missing the smartphone trend.
It was. They had all these fragmented priorities.
Okay.
A lack of a clear strategy.
Yeah.
And their culture wasn't agile enough to adapt.
Wow.
So it's crucial for any individual or any organization.
Yeah.
Focus isn't just about picking the right projects.
It's about having that culture of focus.
Exactly. A shared understanding of the priorities.
Okay.
And a willingness to adapt as the world changes.
So how do we avoid becoming the next Nokia?
Well, the blog post has some really practical strategies for staying focused, both as individuals and teams.
And let's be honest, we could all use a little help with that these days.
Absolutely, especially with all the distractions.
So many distractions.
I know, right?
Where do we even begin?
Well, one of the first things you can do is actually something a lot of us are already doing.
Okay.
Using project management tools.
Okay.
Things like Trello or Asana, Monday.com.
Yeah, I've heard of those.
They're more than just to-do lists.
Okay.
They can be game changers for organizing tasks.
Yeah.
Visually tracking your progress, and especially if you're working with a team.
Right.
Keeping everybody on the same page.
I've used Trello a bit.
Okay.
And I love like that visual aspect of it.
Yeah.
It's like having a giant whiteboard.
It is.
But sometimes I feel like I spend more time organizing than actually doing the tasks.
I hear you. The key is to find a system that actually works for you.
Okay.
And doesn't become another source of overwhelm.
Right.
But for a lot of people, just seeing that visual, like the project broken down, with the deadlines, the progress bars, can be really motivating.
It's like when you're downloading a file.
Yes.
And you see that progress bar.
Exactly.
You can see yourself getting closer to the finish line.
You can.
And that little bit of feedback.
Yeah.
It really does make a difference.
It does. And a lot of these tools have collaboration features. So you can assign tasks to different people. You can have discussions right there within the platform.
Okay.
And you can keep everyone in the loop.
So you're not going back and forth with emails.
No more endless email chains.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not just about individual organization.
Right.
It's also about creating that team-wide sense of focus.
Everyone's working together.
Exactly. Shared accountability.
Yeah. Okay.
And speaking of staying focused.
Okay.
Let's talk about another powerful technique. Time blocking.
Oh, time blocking. Okay.
Have you ever tried this?
I've experimented with it.
Okay.
I'll admit, I'm not always the best at keeping up with it.
I get it.
The idea is to block off specific times on your calendar for certain tasks, right?
That's it. You're taking control of your schedule.
Okay.
And you're minimizing those distractions that love to derail us.
It's like having a schedule and actually sticking to it.
Exactly. So it's like saying from 10 to noon.
Yeah.
I'm writing.
Okay.
Nothing else gets my attention.
My challenge is actually sticking to it.
It's hard.
I'll block off the time, but then an urgent email pops up.
Right.
Or a coworker stops by for a quick chat.
Right.
And suddenly my schedule's completely out the window.
It happens, but honestly, the more you practice.
Yeah.
The easier it becomes to enforce those boundaries.
So it's like building a habit.
It is. It's like building a muscle.
Okay.
The more you use it, the stronger it gets.
So I'm training my brain to focus.
Exactly.
Okay. And are there any tools or anything that can help with that?
Oh, absolutely.
Like what?
Well, you can turn off notifications.
Yeah.
You can use those website blockers.
Right.
To avoid those social media rabbit holes.
Oh, yeah. Those are tempting.
I know. You can even just put on some noise-canceling headphones.
Okay.
It's all about creating that environment that tells your brain it's time to focus.
So it's like setting the stage.
Exactly.
All right.
And, you know, this ties into another point the blog post made about delegation.
Oh, yeah, delegation.
That's a superpower that a lot of people don't use enough.
It can be scary, though, right?
It can be.
Like giving up control.
Yeah.
Trusting someone else to do something that you normally do.
I get it. But effective delegation isn't about just dumping tasks on other people.
Okay.
It's about strategically assigning those tasks to the people who are best suited for them.
So it's about recognizing that I can't do everything myself.
Exactly.
And that other people might actually be better at certain things.
Yes. And by delegating those tasks that others can handle, you free up your own time and energy to focus on those high-level tasks.
The things that only I can do.
Exactly. It's a win-win for everyone.
Okay. So it's like building a system where everyone is working at their best.
Exactly.
And we all have a shared sense of focus.
I love it.
Okay. This is making a lot of sense.
Good.
What else can we do to stay on track?
Well, regular progress reviews can really help.
Oh, I'll admit, I sometimes skip those. They can feel like just another meeting.
Right, but think of them like pit stops in a Formula One race.
Okay.
You get to assess your performance.
Yeah.
Make any adjustments.
Okay.
Refuel. Get ready for the next lap.
So it's not just about checking boxes and reporting on what's been done.
No.
It's about looking at the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Seeing if there are any roadblocks and celebrating the wins.
Exactly. Because celebrating those wins, whether it's a high five or a team lunch, it reinforces those positive habits.
Okay.
Creates that culture of achievement.
Now, what if you're the one leading the team?
That's a great question.
How do you create that culture of focus?
Right. Because you can't just tell everyone to focus.
Right. It's not that simple.
No, it's not.
So what can leaders do?
Well, the blog post has some great advice for leaders on this.
Okay. I'm ready. Lay it on me.
Well, it starts with clear communication.
Okay.
Your team needs to understand the priorities.
Right.
The goals and how their roles contribute to all of that.
So no more vague directives
or
constantly changing priorities.
No, it's about being clear and consistent.
Okay.
So everyone is aligned.
Yeah.
And they're all working towards that same vision.
And then focus just happens naturally.
Exactly. And it's also important to recognize and reward that focused behavior.
So it's not just about what you say.
No.
It's also about acknowledging and appreciating the people who are really focused.
Exactly. You want to celebrate those wins,
yeah,
both big and small.
To show everyone that this is what we value.
Yes. And to motivate everyone to do the same thing.
And what about training?
Oh, training is huge.
Okay.
Equipping your team with the right tools and techniques for project management can make such a difference.
So we're giving them the skills they need.
Yes. You're giving them the superpowers.
Okay.
To stay organized, prioritize their tasks, and actually achieve those goals.
All right. But even with the best training,
there
are always going to be distractions.
Oh, there always are.
So how do we minimize those?
Well, the blog post has a few suggestions.
Okay.
One is to turn off all those non-essential notifications.
Oh, yeah.
Do you really need to know every time someone likes your Instagram post?
Probably not, but it's so tempting.
I know. It's like a little dopamine hit.
Yeah.
But all those pings and dings, they fragment our focus.
Right.
It's harder to get into that flow state.
So we need to silence those distractions.
Yes. Another suggestion is to use tools like Freedom or Focus at Will.
Okay.
Which actually block distracting websites and apps.
So you can't even access them.
Not for a set period of time.
Okay.
It's like putting on those blinders.
Oh, yeah. Like for a horse.
Exactly.
So they can just focus on the track ahead.
Exactly.
What about noise-canceling headphones?
Oh, those can be a game changer.
Okay.
Especially if you're in like an open office.
Right.
It's like creating your own little sonic cocoon.
You can just tune everything out.
Exactly. Tune everything out.
And get into the zone.
Yes. The blog post also mentions deep work practices.
Deep work? What's that?
It sounds intense, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
It's a term from Cal Newport.
Okay.
And it refers to the ability to focus without distraction.
Okay.
On a cognitively demanding task.
So it's like that flow state.
It is. You're completely immersed in what you're doing.
Okay.
So during those deep work sessions, you don't check email, you don't check social media.
You just work.
You just work.
Okay.
It's about maximizing your cognitive capacity.
Yeah.
And getting into that zone of peak productivity.
That sounds great, but it also sounds difficult.
It is. It's a skill
okay.
that you have to develop.
So how do we get better at it?
Well, there are a lot of techniques.
Like what?
Mindfulness meditation can help.
Okay.
Taking strategic breaks.
Okay.
Even just setting really clear intentions for your work sessions.
So it's like creating a ritual.
Yes.
That signals to your brain, it's time to focus.
Exactly. The more you create those rituals and those boundaries,
yeah,
the easier it becomes,
okay,
to get into that deep work mode.
This is great advice for individuals,
mm-hmm,
but how do we apply this to teams?
Right, because you need that focus-driven culture.
Exactly.
Well, the blog post talks about that too.
Okay, good.
And it emphasizes transparency.
Okay.
Open communication,
yeah,
and accountability.
Okay, so what does transparency look like in practice?
Well, it means that everyone has access to the same information.
Okay.
Whether it's the project goals,
mm-hmm,
the timelines, or the progress updates.
So everyone knows what's going on.
Exactly. And when everyone's in the loop,
yeah,
it reduces confusion.
Right.
It minimizes those miscommunications.
Yeah.
And it creates that sense of shared purpose.
So no more information silos, mm-hmm, or secret conversations.
No, you want open communication,
yeah,
both formally and informally.
Okay.
That's essential for a focus team.
Got it. And what about accountability?
Well, that means you have those clear expectations.
Okay.
Roles and responsibilities.
Yeah.
And you hold each other accountable.
So we're all responsible for our own work.
Yes. You're empowering people.
Okay.
To take ownership,
mm-hmm,
and contribute to the team's success.
It's not about blaming each other.
No. It's not about blame.
It's about working together.
Exactly. Working together.
Okay. So when everyone feels accountable,
yes,
it creates that sense of focus.
It does. And commitment.
Okay.
But, you know,
yeah,
even with the best intentions and all the strategies,
yeah, yeah,
sometimes we all need a little extra support.
Absolutely. We can't be experts in everything.
We can't. And the blog post actually points this out.
Okay.
If you're feeling overwhelmed,
yeah,
or stuck,
yeah,
or you just need some expert guidance,
mm-hmm,
reaching out for help is never a sign of weakness.
Okay.
It's a sign of strength.
I like that.
It shows that you're committed to your goals.
So it's okay to ask for help.
It is. Whether it's a colleague,
yeah,
a mentor, a coach,
mm-hmm,
even a project management consultant, there are resources available,
okay,
to help you through those tough situations.
So it takes a village.
It does. It takes a village.
I like that.
To achieve those big goals.
Okay, so as we're talking about all this,
yeah,
I keep thinking back to that central message of the blog post,
which is
focus, execute, achieve.
That's it. That's the whole journey.
Yeah, it's about setting your sights on that goal,
mm-hmm,
breaking it down,
mm-hmm,
dedicating yourself to each step,
yeah,
and celebrating the wins along the way.
That's it. Simple but powerful.
It really is.
It applies to anything you want to do.
Literally anything.
Launching a business, writing a book, learning a new skill.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. And you know what else I liked about the blog post?
What's that?
That call to action at the end.
Oh, yeah. I like that too.
Because it's not just about learning this stuff.
It's about doing it.
It's about doing it.
Taking action.
Exactly. And that brings us to a question for our listeners.
Okay. Hit us with it. So, listeners, think about this for a second. What's one goal that you're ready to tackle with laser focus, like starting today, like right now?
Yeah, it's so easy to just like listen to all this stuff,
right,
and be like, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
But then not actually do anything.
Exactly. It's all about actually applying it.
Yeah.
To get real results.
Right.
In your own life.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be this huge, massive thing.
Right.
Maybe it's finally finishing that online course you started.
Yeah.
Or cleaning up your workspace.
Yeah.
Or maybe just like committing to a daily meditation practice.
Yeah. I love that it's about picking that one thing,
yeah,
that's been on your mind.
Yeah.
Like the thing that keeps getting pushed to the bottom of the to-do list.
Yes.
And just saying, okay, no more excuses.
No more excuses.
You're doing this.
This is it.
And then once you have that goal,
mm-hmm,
remember what we talked about, like breaking it down?
Breaking it down.
Into those manageable steps.
Yeah. Like building that skyscraper.
You don't start at the top.
You start with the foundation.
Exactly.
Right.
Brick by brick, floor by floor.
Yeah. So if your goal is to write a book,
mm-hmm,
you don't just expect to have a finished manuscript like that.
No, you got to break it down.
Yeah, you got to break it down into the research, the outline, the drafting, the editing.
All those steps.
Each step has its own tasks.
Yeah, and those smaller tasks feel a lot less scary.
Right, because instead of climbing this huge mountain,
right,
you're just focusing on getting to the next base camp.
Exactly.
And then the next one,
well,
and eventually you're at the top.
You made it.
And don't forget those deadlines.
Deadlines are key.
Yeah, they're like those trail markers,
yeah,
to keep you on track.
Keep you accountable.
But make sure they're realistic.
Realistic and achievable, yeah, yes.
It's better to have lots of little deadlines,
right,
than,
yeah,
one giant one.
Exactly.
And as you're making progress,
mm-hmm,
remember to celebrate.
Celebrate those wins.
Yeah. Even the small ones.
Every single one.
It's like a little reward.
Yes.
To keep you motivated.
Exactly. And focus is a skill.
Yeah.
It's like a muscle.
You got to work it out.
You got to work it out. The more you use it,
the stronger it gets.
The stronger it gets.
And eventually you can achieve so much more.
You can.
In less time.
Yes.
And it's actually enjoyable.
Exactly. It's like you unlock this superpower.
Yeah.
The power to focus.
To block out distractions.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually get things done.
And you know what?
What?
That's a superpower that's available to all of us.
We can all do this.
We can.
So to all our listeners out there.
Yes.
Embrace this power of focus.
Yes. Choose that goal.
Break it down.
Break it down.
Take that first step.
Then watch what happens.
You can create amazing results.
Amazing results.
One step at a time.
One step at a time.
And remember, success isn't about being perfect.
Right.
It's about making progress.
Progress, not perfection.
So embrace the journey.
Yes.
Celebrate those wins.
Uh-huh.
And never stop learning.
Keep growing.
All right, everyone. Until next time.
Yes.
Stay focused. Stay curious.
And keep chasing those goals.
We'll be here cheering you on.
Every step of the way.